नारायणा नमस्कृत्यान् रूं चैवं नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत् नश्च प्रायस्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवाय भागवत उत्तमस्तोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा गुड मॉर्निंग टू एवरी वन कॉल एंड गुड डे डिपेंडिंग ऑन वेयर यू आर इन द वर्ल्ड दिस मॉर्निंग्स टेक्स्ट इज फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 Chapter 11, Jat Bharat instructs King Rahugan. Text 6. Dukam sukam vyatiriktam chatibram kalo papanam phalam avyanakti alingya maya rachitan karatma swadehinam samshiti chakrakuta. Word for word translation. Dukam, unhappiness due to impious activities. Sukam, happiness due to pious activities. Vyatiriktam, illusion. Cha, also. Tivram, very severe. Kala upapanam, obtained in the course of time. Phalam, the resultant action. Avyanakti, creates. Alingya, embracing. Maya rachita, created by material nature. Anta atma, the mind. Swadehinam, the living being himself. Sanshriti, of the actions and reactions of material existence. Chakrakuta, which deceives the living entity into the wheel. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The materialistic mind covering the living entity's soul carries it to different species of life. This is called continued material existence. Due to the mind, the living entity suffers or enjoys material distress and happiness. Being thus illusioned, the mind further creates pious and impious activities and their karma, and thus the soul becomes conditioned. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Mental activities under the influence of material nature cause happiness and distress within the material world. Being covered by illusion, the living entity eternally continues conditioned life under different designations. Such living entities are known as Nitya Bhadha, eternally conditioned. On the whole, the mind is the cause of conditioned life. Therefore, the entire yogic process is meant to control the mind and the senses. If the mind is controlled, the senses are automatically controlled, and therefore the soul is saved from the reactions of pious and impious activity. If the mind is engaged at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Sarve Mana Krishna Padaravindayo, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Text 18, the senses are automatically engaged in the Lord's service. When the mind and senses are engaged in the Lord in devotional service, the living entity naturally becomes Krishna conscious. As soon as one always thinks of Krishna, he becomes a perfect yogi, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham mat ketanam taratmana. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 6, Text 47. This Antaratma, the mind, is conditioned by material nature. As stated here, Maya Rajitantaratma Swadehinam Sanshriti Chakra Kuta. The mind, being most powerful, covers the living entity and puts him in the waves of material existence. Om Agina Timirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Patakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Abadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanusite Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhibhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadarha Sivasari Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Shatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurachise Namaha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Maha Prema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So here's the text again, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 11. Maharaj Rahugan is instructed by Jatbharat, Text 6. Dukam Sugam Vyatiriktam Chativram Kalopapanam Palam Avyanakti Alingya Maya Rajitantaratma Swadehinam Samshriti Chakrakuta. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The materialistic mind covering the living entity's soul carries it to different species of life. This is called continued material existence. Due to the mind, the living entity suffers or enjoys material distress and happiness. Being thus illusioned, the mind further creates pious and impious activities and their karma, and thus the soul becomes conditioned. So, Hare Krishna. This is the instruction being given by Jatbharat to Maharaj Rahugan about the mind. So, of the 15 senses that are listed, the mind, the 16th one, is the controller. And the mind is materialistic by nature, being here in the material world. And as devotees, we're trying to get the mind to behave itself, practically, frankly, to behave itself and to be connected with the spiritual, because the material mind is trouble to us, and the spiritual, a spiritualized mind, takes us back home. So in many words, this is the short form of what Maharaj Rahugan is being told by Jatbharat. So the translation, materialistic mind covering the living entity's soul. So why is it put that way by Jatbharat? Well, the materialistic mind is part of the subtle body, and the subtle body covers the soul. That's why he puts it that way. The subtle body has mind, intelligence, and our pride or the ego. We are, Krishna has a real ego, so we have a false ego. But those make up the subtle body. And that bag is focusing particularly on the mind. So the mind is part of the subtle body. And the subtle body covers the soul. Therefore, the materialistic mind also covers the soul in that sense. So the materialistic mind covering the living entity's soul, that Brad says here, carries it to different species of life. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna that the soul goes through different bodies. And he describes the physical. And then there's also the subtle. The physical body grows. Baby, then youth, then old man, then the body gets a little more messed up and we call it a really old person. And then at some point it doesn't work anymore. That's called death. The soul and the subtle body come out. And then they go to the next existence based on the pious or impious activities, as that Brad is describing here in this particular text. The mind creates further impious activities in the next life. You take another body, again, pious and impious activities. That's a conditioned soul. And so that Brad ends it, the soul becomes conditioned. The conditioned soul goes through that. So, life after life, life after life, body, small, medium, teenage, then large, a grown-up, and then breakdown, an old man's body. And Srila Prabhupada describes it when, it's not too hard to understand. When the mind, when the bodies get to the point where they break down, the next body is there. The cycle begins. Now that's the cycle the Buddhists are looking to get out of, because there is suffering and there's some sense gratification, but as we all know, nobody likes to suffer. We would rather enjoy. And that's not surprising, because that's the nature of a soul. The soul is ananda. So even when the soul is not being used in its fullness, we still want happiness, because that's our real nature. The soul doesn't do distress. It does happiness. Therefore, the human being wants happiness. Whether you kami or devotee, everybody wants happiness. Some people get it in a weird way. The demonic people get it in a weird way. They're happy when they control other people and make them miserable. And that's as weird as it comes, but good people can't quite understand that. And demons can't quite understand why good people don't understand why they like to control. So it's just crazy in ways, in all ways it's crazy. Material life is like that. Material world is like that. Demons think they are enjoying. Good people are also having sense gratification, and they also think they are enjoying. But Jack Barra says, it's all illusion. Material life is illusion. So the demon is illusion, and the good kami is also illusion. Because real happiness is not here. It's in the spiritual world. So whether you create pious activities, be philanthropist, donate this for this particular thing, and then you're still going to die. Donating does not excuse you. It doesn't excuse you from disease. I'm not even going to bring coronavirus into this, because it's obvious. Rich people are not excused. Poor people are not excused. Disease is like that. It's not just coronavirus. It's all diseases are like that. So how are we going to be happy here? How? Pious people go through suffering. Impious people go through suffering. And then, as Jack Bahad is describing, the mind creates further pious and impious activities. And in the next life, that also has to play out. And sometimes some of it plays out. And sometimes, depending on the body that they get, not all of it plays out. So then it gets postponed. The suffering or the sense gratification, I wouldn't even call it enjoyment. In the material world, there isn't enjoyment. It's just sense gratification and suffering. So sometimes it just, goes later. Like in the case of Dhritarashtra, he was very, very, very surprised in asking Krishna, why was I born blind? I mean, the last thing a king wants to be is blind. There's so much sense enjoyment, there's so much wealth, and he can't see. And so badly that because of his lack of vision, he could have been the next king by age. He was the oldest, but they bypassed him and gave the kingship position to his younger brother Pandu, just because he was blind. And he didn't like it, but he had to go along with it first. And then later on, he realized, geez, I mean, I've been cheated. I should be the king. So when Pandu died and they really turned back to him and made him king, he's like, well, why didn't you make me king before? I mean, I'm still blind. Why was I not given the king the first time? If you're going to give it to me a second time, it's not like I haven't been blind or I was okay and now I'm blind or something. I was just blind from the beginning. You said no at first, now you're saying yes. So in a sense, it's flip-flop. So the dress has a case. But that's the material world. That's the material world. So people who gave it to Pandu were actually thinking about the nation. There has to be a person who is, you know, has all the senses working. How are we going to have a blind person there? But then Pandu dies, and they go, Bhishma says he's going to protect the crown, and he's a great warrior. Therefore, well, we'll put the blind man there anyway. So imperfections all over the place, even in Mahabharata, with good intention, still. With people like Yamaraj, as Vidura, all of them there, still. A flip-flop situation happens too. Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra says, but if I wasn't blind, all of this wouldn't happen. How did I become blind? Well, it's because of karma. And who did he ask? He asked Krishna. Why did I become blind? Why did I become blind now that I'm a king? Of all times that I could be, you know, I need all my senses. When I become a king is when I'm blind? Then Krishna explained, well, there's pious activities that would make you a king and impious activities that would make you blind. You just karma that you're living out. But he explained further. He said, it's playing out now because 50 lifetimes ago. See, that's why sometimes this karma doesn't come immediately now. You have to have the kind of bodies to be able to play out the karma. So some karma means that maybe somebody has been a murderer. And he should be murdered as a human being. But and that's the karma that's supposed to play out on him, the way it's planned. But then, because of ignorance, he turned out to be a dog. So if he's going to be killed as a human being, that has to be, that's to wait for him to get a human body again. And this is not the best example, because a dog can be killed also. But still, you know, I'm just bringing it up as a way in which karma sometimes plays out. But let's just stay with the drastic situation. Dhritarashtra, 50 lifetimes ago, he was a hunter. So Krishna is explaining why he got blind. And he shot an arrow with fire on the tip of it, a flaming arrow, into a nest of birds. Now, he really didn't need the birds for consumption or anything. He just did it just for target practice. But the nest had 100 birds, small birds in them, and they all died when the nest caught fire. There was a mother bird in there. The mother bird escaped, but the mother bird got blinded. And so Dhritarashtra had to pay for the mother bird's blindness with his blindness later on. Now, the birds, the little birds, were 100. They got killed. So in the Kurukshetra war, Dhritarashtra had 100 sons. They were also killed. And of course, the karma was tied into this, because karma is quite complicated. So they were meant to be killed, and then the whole thing was played so that they became sons of the Dhritarashtra. They themselves had their karma to be killed, and you know, they got killed, and the Dhritarashtra also paid the price for killing 100 birds, little birds, 100 children of the mother bird. So his children, 100, got killed. Now he, as one person, the Dhritarashtra, as one person, shot the arrow into the nest. So one hunter killed 100 birds. And therefore, Bhima, one of the 5 Pandavas, killed all the 100 sons too. So that's karma. And so Srila Prabhupada says, get out of this situation. Get out of this situation. One way or the other, if we do not police our own selves and take our spiritual life seriously, and we fall into karma, then things like this, you know, happen. We have simpler cases. I've seen a situation with, I was on a highway, another story, and I was on a highway here in the Maryland, no, in the Pennsylvania area. So I've been in Maryland before too, but this was Pennsylvania. Highway 83, driving a regular Toyota Camry. It's just a highway, two lanes going one way. So the next person, me, happened to be driving a nice Mercedes-Benz, white woman. I just peeked in there and I saw her, and I noticed that she was crying. And I'm thinking, you have a very wonderful, expensive car, and you're crying? But that's life. So he has, she has opulence, but she's not happy. And I have just, you know, a regular Toyota Camry, and I'm just going on with my life. And chanting. So it's spiritual life that would make us satisfied, not material life. And so that brother is describing here, the materialistic mind covering the living entity's soul carries it to different species of life. That's called continued material existence, life after life after life after life. Due to the mind, the living entity suffers or enjoys material distress and happiness. That's the way life is. Sometimes happy, sometimes not. So, being that's illusion, and the illusion is we think we're going to be okay here. Somehow, if we work hard, we're going to be fine. Other people are doing well. We can also do well. Other people have nice houses. They live in nice neighborhoods. So, if I also live in a nice neighborhood, I'm going to be okay. Well, you can have a neighborhood and this and that, live there in that kind of neighborhood. Nice neighborhood, big houses, but trouble never leaves us. Srila Prabhupada one time brought this wonderful thinking as, you know, the genius that he is. He says when people pray, even if they pray for material things, they pray for good things to happen to them. Nobody prays for bad things. Then why is it that people get into trouble even though they're asking God for good things? Well, why do bad things come anyway, even though they didn't pray for that? Well, it's part of life here. That's the reason. And the second reason is Krishna. Now, if we look at it transcendentally, Krishna has deliberately created this prison house in such a way that we are going to be unhappy here. Because if we're happy, we're going to want to stay here and tolerate all kinds of things. But the real happiness is in the spiritual world. Therefore, devotees are partly going through challenges. They learn lessons from challenges. But the other part of it is, we're going to be tired here and disgusted here. And because we're tired and disgusted, and now we've been given the way to get out, then we'll take it seriously, spiritual life. That is the chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And that's the idea. So Krishna in his infinite intelligence has deliberately made life difficult here. There's a little bit of break we call sense gratification. But we don't like, you know, trouble because the soul doesn't like trouble. The soul likes happiness. So all we have to, Krishna have to do is just create some trouble here and we won't like it. Then it's okay, well, you don't like it. I've sent guru. I've sent representatives of me. Just get up and go home. Do what it takes. I want you here in the spiritual world. We'll have a lot of fun continuously. So if you don't want to go, then I would just quote you the Prabhupada. She says one time in answer to a question, I didn't hear the question well because it didn't come out so well in the CD, but Srila Prabhupada answered it clearly, and I could tell from the answer what the person may have asked about the material world. But the answer Srila Prabhupada gave is, says, yep, Krishna is here. He's trying to get you to go back. That's why Krishna is trying to get you to go back. So the question was about something the person who asked it was uncomfortable with material life. And Srila Prabhupada says, yes, that's why Krishna is asking you to go back. So if he gives you the opportunity to go back and you don't, that's your foolishness. You know, Krishna, you know, Srila Prabhupada uses the word foolishness. Not that I want to use it, but he did say, that is your foolishness. He's giving the opportunity and we're sitting here trying to say, oh, if I did this, I'm going to be happy. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be happy. It doesn't work like that here because it's designed for us to get tired of it. So conditioned souls are still thinking that if they do this and they do this, they do this, we come up with a different gadget and you buy it and it works better than the last one, I'm going to be happy. But it never comes. It never comes. Happiness is when you go back home. Happiness is when you begin. As soon as you begin the spiritual process and you take it seriously, as we talk about a few points here a little later, you'd realize that happiness does in fact come, even in the material world, but it's internal happiness, and it's only for spiritualists. Only for spiritualists to feel that way. Everybody else trying to make it in material energy would be an illusion. It doesn't come, because that particular internal happiness is happiness of the soul. And Krishna is so kind that he even starts the happiness of a soul while we're in the material world, provided we are working towards going home based on Guru's instructions. That's the only time you get real internal happiness. And then everything around you, your equipoise, happiness, material distress, it doesn't matter anymore. And basically, you're just tired of the material world. Then you're ready to go home. Then, because you would take things seriously, Krishna wouldn't have to tell you anymore. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, mental activities under the influence of material nature cause happiness and distress in the material world. Mental activities, the activities of the mind, influenced by goodness, passion, ignorance. Goodness may give you a little sense gratification. Passion, well, you work like... the Pavargas, Papa, Baba, and Ma. And then ignorance, that's worse. Might not even get opportunity to be in a human body next life if you go to a lower body, as it says in Bhagavad Gita. So that means we stay. And as soon as you get out of the material body, human material body, and go to lower body, you're stuck. There's no going back to the spiritual world. Because that type of intelligence can't even chant Hare Krishna to go back. The dogs and the trees and all that, they definitely stuck at least one lifetime. Because it will take another lifetime and an opportunity to be in a human body before you even decide whether you're going to chant or not. And sometimes the human body, a lot of people in the world are wasting their human lives because they're not trying to go back. They're just trying to enjoy sense gratification. So this is a big illusion happening. So devotees have a lot of work to do. We are, by the mercy of Guru and Guranga, now we have been put on the right path, and we're working towards, by the mercy of Krishna, going back to the spiritual world. There's a whole bunch of people that aren't. I mean, devotees in the world are so few. They are so few compared to the world's population that if you had, as an analogy, a stadium that's full of people, 30,000 something people, and by just proportion, by 30,000 people, you might get about 5 devotees. So a whole stadium of 30,000 people, only 5 devotees, if you just like evenly average it, average in the whole world, 5 for 30,000. We are very few. This is just an arbitrary number, just not from real solid calculation, but just to give the impression that we're very, very, very few. And that's why we need to take ourselves seriously. When we do sadhusanga and we're together, it looks like there's a lot of us, but compared to the population of a world, we're very few. And that's why we can't offend each other crazily like that, no, because Radharani does not put up with it at all. We are very, very few who have turned their attention to Krishna, compared to the rest of the world, who are either atheists or religionists. So we have to be very, very careful how we relate to each other. Because we're very, very, very few. It's like a very, very, very elite club of spiritualists, devotees. That's how high we are. But at the same time, we live our life humbly. Because we don't have control. Krishna has control. So, to come back to the purport. So, being covered by illusion, the living entity eternally continues conditioned life under different designations. Designations upadi. Now, I'm American, I'm woman, I'm man, I'm short, I'm tall, I'm light, I'm dark, I'm African, I'm on and on and on and on, and the soul is none of that. None of that. I remember Shilavati Thera Maharaj made one statement about himself. So when he was little at home, his parents and sisters, and I think he had sisters, yeah, and he was a boy, the last born. So they called him, his name, legal name was John Favors. So they called him Johnny Boy. He told us, the devotee started laughing. He says, "Oh, so Maharaj, you were Johnny Boy when you were little." Okay. Johnny Boy. And then, you know, in high school, he went to college, and then he adopted an African name because he's African American, and there was so connection with Africa. So they called him by a name called Tshombe. Tshombe, which is a Congolese name they just gave to him. And he was president of the students' union. And later on, you know, he became a devotee, and he was called Ghanasyam Das, and then he became Sannyasi, and he was called Bhakti Thera Maharaj. So all of these names, since he was little, from Johnny Boy all the way up to Bhakti Thera Swami, he says, so I'm all of those in the material world, and at the end of the day, I'm none of those. Because he's not even called Bhakti Thera Maharaj in the spiritual world. That's not his name. He's not even a he at all. Those of us who know him a little boy, his original form is not a male body. It's a female body. Okay, so that's a little bit for you now. So, you know, and many of these sannyasis are, some of them, when we talk about the gopis, they came in Gaura Lila as men. Swarup Damodar, that's Lalita. Ramananda Raya, that's Vishakha. They were women, but they came because Lord Chaitanya was going to take sannyas, and by sannyas, you know, do's and don'ts, men are more around them, so he was going to take sannyas, and so they also came as men to be able to associate with him more, since sannyasis normally have men around them more than women. And so that was the arrangement. But in the spiritual, they're women. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of the Manjaris, you know, Bhaktinoda, Rupa Goswami's Rupa Manjari, they are women. But they came as men to Gaura Lila because Radha Krishna combined. Radha Krishna, Lord Chaitanya was going to take sannyas, and they had to work with him. So, and sannyasis work around men, so they came as men. Just for, you know, for us, literally for us, their mercy shown to us like that. So they've done more than what they have to do. We just have to do our part to just accept the mercy and bathe in the mercy and chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, and they'll take us home to boot. So we got it made if we take it seriously. We just got it made. The only problem is, half the time, Maya is, tempting us with material things, and sometimes we fall and we think, oh yeah, it's better. And then some of us regret it. You know, at least that's good if you regret, because then you try not to do it again. The material things that are sense gratification stuff. But we need to take our spiritual life seriously, because that's where the happiness really is. So, Srila Prabhupada says, when the mind, this is the purport, when the mind and senses are engaged in devotional service, the living entity naturally becomes Krishna conscious. And as soon as one always thinks of Krishna, he becomes a perfect yogi. So here it is. You think of Krishna, you're a perfect yogi. Always, though. You have to think of Krishna all the time. Then you're back to yogi. Because when you think about it, you will sing about Krishna. You sing bhajans. You be in the kirtans. You will chant. You will serve. You will anything about Krishna. Krishna, I'm all for you. It's called Atma Nivedana. I'm surrendering everything. I'm all for you. My mind, take everything. Take everything. Mind, house, like that, to Krishna. That's where happiness really is. So the mind is the one that's keeping us, trying to get us. So how, you know, get us in trouble spiritually. So how to combat the mind? Well, two main things: engage the senses in devotional service. And two, chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, while engaging the senses in devotional service, we have to be careful not to offend other devotees. So we keep hearing. Hearing gives the guidance. It's all there, guidance. And then we chant the holy name. And then we serve in the other different, seven different ways. That's it. And as soon as we're doing that, the mind is controlled. Because the mind can't do anything unless the senses do it. The mind can think so and so and so, but the senses have to do. And if the senses have been pulled in devotional service, the mind can think all it wants to do, but the activity will not be done because the senses do the activity and the senses are engaged in devotional service. So as soon as you transcendentally tie up the senses in devotional service, the mind can't harm you. It cannot ruin your spiritual life. It can't. So, Sri Prabhupada says you engage the service, just like Maharaj Ambarish. He quoted him in Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Text 18, 19, and 20 are together. So, the translation, Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna, his words in describing the glories of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the temple, his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna, Krishna's temples, and Krishna's places like Mathura and Vrindavan. He engaged the sense of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. He engaged the sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of tulsi leaves offered to the Lord, and that includes manjaris too. He engages tongue in tasting the Lord's prasad. He engages legs in walking to the holy places and temples of the Lord. He engages head in bowing down, that is offering dandavats or obeisances to the Lord. And all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. So here's a model devotee for us. He engaged all his senses in devotion service in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment from the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. So that's Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Text 18, 19, and 20. That's the translation we just read about Maharaj Ambarish. So Maharaj Ambarish is a model devotee. Many, many, many model devotees are here. Present-day gurus, present-day senior devotees, present-day people from the spiritual world who are, you know, quietly and covertly working. You don't even know they are from the spiritual world. They are among us. Not all from the spiritual world are Swamis. Some are from the spiritual world that are not. And they are among us. Very, very, very good example of how they live their spiritual lives. So you associate with them. A person that's fixed up. Okay, so there are 10 things that through my Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada, we will read it out now, these realizations, that are summaries of being able to think about Krishna and making spiritual life successful. So we'll say that and stop. Number one, use one or more of your senses at all times to serve the Lord and his devotees. Use one or more of your senses at all times to serve the Lord and his devotees. Number two, do such service under the guidance of senior devotees and the spiritual master. And obey the take the instruction of a spiritual master also. That's number two. Number three, obey the bona fide spiritual master at all times. Number four, ask questions for clarity if needed, but always ask them in a non-challenging mood. Number five, be aware that you cannot train yourself. If you want to train yourself by yourself, Maya will beat you. Maya is far too crafty and too witty. We can't. Maya will easily beat us. So you can't train yourself unless you're already a pure devotee from the spiritual world. Nitya siddhas. And they don't need training. They just live the life, spiritual life anyway. Number six, even the pure devotees from the spiritual world are tempted by Maya. My Guru Maharaj says, Maya is an equal opportunity employer. Nobody escapes Maya, except your Krishna or incarnation of Krishna, because that's Maya's boss. So even, number six, even the pure devotees from the spiritual world are tempted by Maya, but they resist. By the mercy of your gurus, they resist. Number 7, when you keep serving from the heart as a devotee, Krishna would watch your determination and patience for a while. And if you keep doing that, within a determined way and exercising patience, waiting for Krishna's mercy, Krishna then will sweeten the life of the devotee from within. So it takes keeping on serving with determination, patience, like that, enthusiasm, determination, and patience. And don't think, oh, this has to be done so quickly, that has to be done so, I have to get to be a pure devotee quickly. No. Pure devotee, if your condition is so, pure devotion doesn't happen overnight. You may think, you may give your heart to Krishna in an instant, but as far as the body working to get to that point, that takes a while. So you got to be patient. Number 8, when the devotee is tired and turned off with material life, spirituality becomes a very welcome alternative. So that's indirectly telling us, at some point, we got to disconnect. Don't look so much for spiritual life, material life to make you happy. And when you get to that point where you're turned off and just tired with the craziness of material life, then spirituality becomes a welcome alternative. Number 9, always chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's direct. Yuga Dharma. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the last one, number 10, fight with the mind. If other non-devotional songs come to the mind, calming music, fight with it. And turn your mind deliberately. Use your intelligence to turn it and start singing devotional music. Don't allow calming music to stay in your life, your mind too long, because it will pull you into activities that are material again. That's the mind using music. So fight the mind if non-devotional songs come into the mind, and replace it with devotional songs. That way you will always think about Krishna and life will be successful. So those are all the 10 points. So we'll stop here. The text today, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.11.6, translation. The materialistic mind covering the living entity's soul carries it to different species of life. This is called continued material existence. Due to the mind, the living entity suffers or enjoys material distress and happiness. Being thus illusioned, the mind further creates pious and impious activities and their karma, and thus the soul becomes conditioned. Hare Krishna, Jai, glory to Srila Prabhupada, thank you. So now you can unmute your phones and ask questions or make some comments. Maybe the next 5 minutes or so, because I actually do have somewhere else to go just before 8 o'clock. So please ask questions now. Don't let that stop you though. I mean, I'm not trying to get out of here quickly. Krishna controls time. So even though I've mentioned it, please ask your questions. Don't hold off. Any questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy, Guru's mercy. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions? Jai, Hare Krishna. Jai, glory to Gurudev, glory to Srila Prabhupada. Any other comments or questions? Hare Krishna. Yes. Hare Krishna. Very good question, and it's very, very appropriate for the times that we're in also. But the answer to that is also quite simple. It's surprising. Now, we'll talk about the reason why the answer is simple, and then we'll talk about the answer itself. The reason is Lord Chaitanya has said that Krishna has invested all his transcendental energies in his holy name. So the answer is the holy name. The energies of Krishna in the holy name. So really, what it takes is to change what you've described is chanting. The same chanting, but we have to chant with the understanding that Krishna's energies is all there though. Not just chant mechanically. Then you don't get much. But we chant with the conviction that we're calling on Krishna. Krishna is absolute. And Krishna is a solution to everything. Everything. I mean, really, everything. And so when you call on the God's, on Krishna's name, then the solutions begin. Krishna will supply the solutions. So I don't even need to go into this now to tell you that, okay, so as you put so nicely, how the mind is feeling, the body is feeling, how to connect all of that, the answer is still one though, Krishna, the same Krishna. And so this process that we've been given in Kali Yuga, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When you go into the meaning of that, dear Krishna, dear Radha, dear Krishna, please engage me in devotional service to you. And that's what we're talking about. If we use the senses, engage it in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, service to him and to the devotees, the senses get engaged, the mind is controlled, and the mind is not going anywhere that's going to be troublesome. That's the solution. So it's the same mantra which says, let me do service for you, then you do service and the mind is controlled. That's it. It's that simple, but it's that difficult to carry it out, though, because Maya is always challenging us, and that's why the question of that came up. But so you keep doing it, and keep doing it, and keep doing it, meaning chanting and chanting. Serve, serve, chant, serve and chant, serve and chant. Do back to yoga and keep chanting. And you'll be out of this. You'll be here, but not here. Did they say being in the material, but not of the world? You'll be in that situation, but that's what it takes. That's what it takes. It's just that you have to be convinced that that's what it takes and do it. And be patient for Krishna. And Krishna will show you the difference. It usually doesn't show right away, though. It doesn't show right away, though. But you have to be patient because he wants to. We are prisoners. So you have to convince him that you really want to do this. And that's why sometimes he holds off like that. Because do you really want parole? Okay, well, prove it to me. Prove it to me. So he will not do it right away. Many times he doesn't do it right away because if we were, pure devotees, we won't care. We'll just keep serving because they don't wait for Krishna to do anything. They just want to serve Krishna. But those of us that like the material energy, well, Krishna has to say, okay, are you really disconnected? Are you chanting just to chant? Nyamagraha, just doing it just to do it? That's the essence and nectar of instruction. Or are you serious about chanting? Do you really mean it when you chant? I want to watch you for a while and see whether you really are serious. And so you've got to be patient enough to prove to Krishna that you're serious. Then he begins to crank up the sweetness. But it takes time. And there is no set time on it. Not 2 days, 2 years, 5. You just keep going. That's why the Prabhupada said, just keep chanting, 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 chanting. Next thing you know, it's actually getting sweeter and sweeter and you don't care about material existence much anymore. But it just takes time. That's why you talk to senior devotees because they've been 30, 40 years and they stayed with it. And you see most of them, they talk very calmly because they've seen a lot of stuff that's gone bad with other people. They've had trials themselves, especially if they're not from the spiritual world and their condition. But they've seen over time, maturity in spirituality has caught up with them. They become mature. So now, not too much surprises them. And they're just very sober and they chant. And when it comes to preaching, they're quite enlivened. They speak like that too, because this is Krishna consciousness. They're happy to talk about Krishna. But other than that, they're just kind of calm because Krishna has begun to, sweeten their lives from within the soul. And that's where we need to get to. And when you get to that, then the rest is, it doesn't really matter whether you're here and anywhere you are. You're just doing bhakti yoga, material, spiritual world. It doesn't really make any difference. But when you leave your body, Krishna will take you to the spiritual world anyway, because that's just his mercy. Like that. Hare Krishna. All right.
Hare Krishna. Thank
Hare Krishna.
You.
Jai.
Kapitru Vishya Kipasin Evita Avanayana.